Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to get together with my brothers and sisters plumb across the world, over across the waters and everywhere. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is in operation tonight in each and every one of us, Lord, to speak the things that only you want us to speak, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night. I know it. I just feel it in my bone, in my spirit, in my soul. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome, awesome time with you. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Lord, we thank you for this open heaven we have right now, in Jesus' name, that everything that we pray, you hear and answer. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you for all the good testimonies tonight, all the good praise reports. And we just praise you, Father, for all the healings, deliverances, and all the circumstances that are satisfied by you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless all my brothers and sisters tonight with your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, good. I ain't got to act nothing but just like my old self here in this in front of y'all, because y'all can't see me at all. And I didn't orchestrate that either. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? How about it? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. With that boogie down granddaughter of yours.
Yeah. I was waiting for somebody else to go, and nobody else would go. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to give a testimony and a prayer request. a praise report. I spoke to Matt and Megan last night, and I'd actually previously, and they asked Megan if I could have, if she has any recent ultrasound pictures of the baby, and I told Matt, I texted him and told him that that I asked her that and wanted to know if I could talk to them, you know, and catch up on what's going on, since they have about a month until the baby's supposed to be born, or she's supposed to be induced. And so he sent me ultrasound pictures. And then not long after that, he called me, and he didn't say, yeah, that would be good, you know. So he just called me out of the blue, and that was a surprise. And they're really starting to, they're really warming up more, and not being so, like, I don't know what you want to say, standoffish, or aloof, or, but anyway, so, we had a really, really good talk. And they told me about everything that's been going on, and, the cut and dry of it is Megan went for a checkup, and her blood pressure was up, and she said she knows it was because it was the first week of school, being back to school teaching and the stress of it, but the doctors didn't care what the reason was. So they upped her induction. They're going to induce her the 25th now instead of the 2nd of October. And and Matt's kind of worried, kind of a pessimist, you know. It's like they're ready to jump on any reason to, bring her her delivery date up. And so he's concerned that, you know, if her blood pressure's up again, they're going to jump it up another week, you know. And and I'd like to pray about that. But I was so encouraged. They were just really open and just talking to me a lot and everything about it all. And It seemed like there was something else I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. But and Megan's concerned that she's going to have to go through what Brooke did, you know, like 2-3 days or whatever, and trying to get her labor going and never succeed, and then have to have a cesarean. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that Matt and Megan just be at peace and know that we're praying and believing that everything's going to be fine, and that her blood pressure is going to be fine. And we just command anxiety and fear and stress and all that the enemy would try and do to cause her to have to have cesarean or her blood pressure to go up and all that. We just command the enemy's hands off this situation, and we just ask you to put peace and rest in their hearts. And I thank you, Father, that Megan was happy to hear that, you know, I was praying and that I was going to ask for prayer for their situation. And she even said about the power of prayer. So thank you, Lord, for softening their hearts and softening them up even more towards you in particular, Lord, and that they be continue to be more open. For me, just to say, you know, the littlest things about you, and I thank you, Lord, for giving me your words, opening the doors for me to just share, you know, help me to be week to week and not try and give too much, Lord. However that comes, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for it. And I just thank you for a healthy baby and Megan to come through this with flying colors, and just ask, Lord, that she not have to go through having a cesarean, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would even intervene, Lord, and that Megan would go into labor all on her own and they wouldn't have to do all that baloney, all their messing and witchcraft and playing God, your God. But Lord, I know you, we don't always understand why things work the way they do. And you work all things after the counsel of your will. And I just thank you and I praise you more than anything that everything's going to be fine, that Megan's going to be fine and healthy, and so is the baby, and that Matt's going to be a good support and know what to do and be calm, cool, and collect. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this new baby that's coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Double rainbow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Times. And Kurt and Brooke are trying for another one now. Okay. And Kurt's nervous about it, I think, because Brooke had a dream, had 3 different dreams that she was holding twin babies. And she said she thinks they're a boy. She's not sure, but 3 times she had a dream where she was holding twin babies. So I thank you, Lord, for your heads up, because Kurt will be fine with it by the time they're here. whenever that is, Lord, that's your mercy and your grace, Lord. So I believe, Lord, you that's you speaking to them, preparing them. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to pray for them.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah. I speak of praying for, as far as intervening, you know, she has to intervene. Lord, I just ask you to intervene in their hearts and minds, Lord. I don't know how used they are to praying to you, Lord, but I pray you intervene in their hearts and their minds, Lord, to really want to pray to you and ask you themselves to be with them, to be with Megan, and to make everything go fine, and that they will have that chance of really putting their faith in you, Lord, that you're going to answer. So So God, help them to just call out to you on their own, Lord, and to put their trust in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I guess I was muted. Go ahead, Greg.
So are you going to say something?
No, not me.
All right.
Not before you. You go right ahead.
Look, sorry I'm late, and I kind of caught the tail end of that, Missy, but I just want to pray as well for some reason. But, Lord, I just want to call on, and this is going to be crass, Lord, I'm sorry, but cash in a few chips from your word, but you have been delivering children right from the time of Cain and Abel. Lord, these are the chips I want to cash in. Your word says the generations of the upright will be blessed. And Lord, if we can just bring those to bear on the generations of Missy, that her grandchildren would be delivered entirely in your time, entirely in the way you designed, entirely without interference from these, air quotes, experts of the medical profession who think they can trump you. They don't stand on the glass, you see, but you give us a place there. So we just call this child to come forth with the minimum of fuss at the time you appoint, without anyone else's interference. Amen. That'll do.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? You raise your hand, Janine. Okay. Julie sent me a link yesterday that Sound of Rain is fixing to have another baby. This will be number 8. I think they're striving for a baseball team. I'm not sure, but they have 7.
Be number 7. Right? No, they have 6, but it'd be number 7.
Well, no, I know, but they had one that died years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
They had a miscarriage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like they're going to have a baseball team. But they're saying this time, that it's I think they're saying they're wanting a boy, because every time before they wanted a girl, that they got a boy. So they're trying to do a little reverse psychology here and believe for a little girl by wanting a little boy. Anyway, Lord, we just thank you. Whatever it is, they're going to love it. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Missy.
That's hysterical. Reverse psychology on the Lord.
Well, you know how we are sometimes. Yeah, Barbara said, oh, yeah, that works with God. No. Yeah, amen. All right, anyone else got a praise report or a testimony? Starting out real good. All right. Got a testimony? How'd the wedding go, Dave? Did you get them married?
You know, whenever you go to a wedding, especially today, you don't really know what you're going to see. It was... They had a woman that got them, that married them, right, up front. So I wasn't offended. And my brother-in-law was a little bit, because he said, well, she didn't even say a prayer. And I said, well, that's okay. That's fine. I'm kind of glad she didn't go there.
I can tell you're struggling with it, though.
Well, it was like... You know, yeah, I didn't really know these people that well. They're kind of distant, a little bit of my wife's side. So But they were, everybody's pleasant. It was really good that way. A very pleasant wedding, you know, and everybody was, but today's culture is different, very different, you know. A lot of tattooed people, shaved side heads, long hair on top, and women are all tattooed. And then after they got done, when they talked about craft beer at the end of the, you know, wedding ceremony, and how it brings, you know, all the things that go in to make a craft beer, and they got a consideration, and then to make it all turn out perfect, and all the ingredients. And then she tied that into the wedding. And the couple at the end of the wedding, they went off to the side with her, and they opened up a bottle of craft beer because that was their thing. They like to drink craft beer, and they had a quick shot of craft beer with each other, and that finished off the wedding. So I was like, oh, okay.
So back up just a minute now. Yeah. I got to get this straight in my mind. Did you say this was two women, or is that what you said?
No. There was a woman officiating it, though.
Ah, she was a preacher.
Well, no. She was a preacher. I'll give her that, which was good. She was officiating the wedding, though.
Okay.
So that didn't offend me. So it was good that she wasn't up there being a minister of the Lord, because that's fine. Because I've been with men at weddings now where we had a man and a woman up there officiated. They go back and forth because they're friends and friends of these, you know, because you can pretty much have anybody officiate your wedding anymore, just as long as, I mean, I get a feeling that, you know, this woman actually has some kind of a marriage ability, I guess. But I've seen it where just a couple of friends are up there officiating a wedding. I had, all I could think was they must have went to the courthouse before and got married officially, and then came and had their wedding ceremony for everybody else and had their friends carry it out. So I've seen that. So it's a wild time. You just don't know what you're going to see. I mean, it wasn't so wild and crazy that I felt like I walked inside of Gomorrah, but, you know, it's different. They just do things different today. They have a little bit of traditional with a little bit of new. So it's a little bit of that mix is going on. So anyways, that's kind of my report.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
When you said about all the tattoos, you know, Marana took a little excursion on, I guess it was Friday, but where we were at, there was this woman in the restaurant, and she was pretty, but she was all tatted up, and she even had her face tatted up. And I'm like, I said to Marana, I said, oh my gosh, I said, I'm believing there's going to be people that are going to come to the Lord and repent, you know, and they're going to regret that they have these tattoos. And I believe the Lord's supernaturally going to remove those tattoos for them. I believe he can do that, you know. So.
Amen. All right. Anyone else got some great, wonderful news? Yeah, Carol, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds like there's an echo.
I suppose you probably got your speakerphone on.
That's so funny. Okay, I'm hearing myself talk back. Hi, everybody.
We are so blessed beyond our wildest dreams.
Yes. So I took a big step today. So I guess that's a victory, but I'll need the prayer to cover it. The condo association where I live, we have a meeting coming up. And then they sent out a report email saying that we have to be doubly vaccinated and show proof of it to come to the meeting. It took me a while to digest this, breathe, pray, consult before I responded. And I went to get some information and sent it to them saying that it's against our civil rights, that currently the government hasn't mandated this and they can't ask for proof that we've had the vaccination. And of course, I haven't, but I didn't say that. So I'm waiting on a response to that, but I really sense God wanted me to stand up and present this amicably as much as possible and appeal to their sense of let's have a lot of respect for the two sides right now. So that I did that. But I haven't gotten any answers yet.
Is this a group you're selling, you want to buy a condo through, or are you selling?
No, I live at this condo place, yeah. And it's our first annual meeting since COVID.
Oh, it's just an annual meeting. I see.
Yes.
All right. Well, would you be offended if you couldn't go?
There's a couple of sneaky things that are trying to pass through, and I really feel like I'm supposed to stand up on that as well.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we should pray on that, you know.
That'd be awesome.
That they back down from that, maybe, you know, and realize that they overstepped, you know. So maybe there's others in your condo area you're living in that have the same are in the same predicament, you know, so.
The meeting, someone's asking the question, September in 2 weeks. So government could have changed things by then, but.
Where do you live, California or where?
No, I'm in Montreal, Canada.
Montreal, wow, okay.
Quebec. Mm-hmm.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, it's hard territory.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray they get attitudes of Texas, how's that?
I like that.
We'll come together and we'll agree with it. I didn't want to take over for you, Michael. I just was curious. Unless you want to pray for it, Michael.
Sure, go ahead. You're doing good.
All right, Lord, you know, wow, here we are up against the COVID people again, the vaxxers. And they, again, they're trying to squeeze us out. So, Lord, we're coming and we want you to change hearts and change minds and let them realize that what they're saying is unreasonable and they cannot lawfully require this of people. They can make statements, but they don't have any legal rights behind that. And that they also want to abide by the law like everybody else and not try to create new laws. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you put it on their hearts that they back down from this now, or if they find another way to have this meeting so that they can feel like everybody's safe and they have their little bubble going for them and nobody's going to be offended. So, Father, whatever it takes for this group to change their mind, Lord, we want you to work on their hearts. And that's what we're trying to offend, not that we're trying to alienate and cause divisions. But, Lord, we're trying to get through this so that nobody is offended. Nobody has to be cornered into a position where they have to take a shot that they don't want to take. And everybody realizes that, no, this isn't a law, that this is just something people feel. And then because they feel that way doesn't mean it has to be that way. And Lord, so we ask that you come against this. We can't do that, but you can. You can change hearts. And we're asking you to do that in the name of Jesus, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for taking this garbage down in the name of Jesus. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
All right, just a little thing. On Monday, well, it's kind of a little thing. On Monday, about 4 p.m., which I had a phone call from a woman who works for our postal service asking if I wished to start work at 6 a.m. the following morning. Anyway, I said no because I had a few things on. I actually start next Tuesday at 6 a.m. So I have some work coming. You know, it's a three-month contract at this stage. We'll see what comes of it all, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a wall that I've been beating against for eons, it seems. And it's kind of cracking like an eggshell, like a chick coming out of an eggshell rather than this bursting forth. But anyway, they offered me this work and I've accepted it, or I'm in the process of going through the paperwork now, which has been a matter of prayer for some time. Well, actually, yeah, 6 a.m. doesn't really agree with me. That's only the induction for a couple of days. It's actually 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., Dave, which is really more my hours. Because at 6 a.m., I can't really come in here, and I know that would just devastate a lot of people.
Well, that just settles it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, this, you say you've got another job opportunity that you've already accepted?
There are two, actually. Another one is working at the airport. However, they can't start it because the people who do the induction training are in another state, which if they came here, they've got to go into the sheep dip for 2 weeks to get purified. So, you know.
Oh, my. It's getting ridiculous out there.
It is. Well, no, it already is. It's not getting. But we won't have a shutdown in my state until after the 27th of September because they've awarded the grand final of the big football, national football competition to this state. So, they won't have a shutdown until after that.
Okay.
That's my prediction anyway.
Amen. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'll butt out now.
Okay. Go ahead, Geneva.
I was just going to say something kind of small. So anytime at work, I go into these facilities to see these patients. A lot of times they're like incapacitated, you know. So usually when I go see them, I always pray in the spirit when I'm in there, and I pray that, you know, cause usually they're on their deathbed. So I pray that, like, if the Lord could come to them in a vision or, you know, whatever, and if they could get their hearts right with the Lord while they still have a little bit of time, you know, and I believe that he can do that. And it's funny too, cause sometimes, like, they'll be so still, and then sometimes when I start praying, they start, like, doing these twitches, and I don't know. I'm not saying that it is or it's not, but it is what it is, but I just pray and believe for them anyways. But I had a patient today, a new one, that I went and saw, and she was with capacity, so she was, like, with it, cognitive, and I could talk to her and whatnot. Anyway, she was telling me that she had two miracles, and she was like, "Are you religious?" And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "Well, I love the Lord." And she was like, "Oh, okay." And it's funny because over the weekend I was listening to one of David's podcasts about angels, and about it was one of the, I guess, one of the ones they put back up on YouTube or something, I don't know, but it was in, like, a little feed right there. So I was talking about angels, and you know, you always hear, like, you know, Lord put his angels around you, protect you. But I never really, like, put a whole bunch of thought into it. But that podcast was really good, and I was listening to it, and it was pretty cool that she, like, brought up some stuff about angels. And so she said that she was going to die, and she said that she saw three angels appear. And she said that they were standing in front of her, and she said, you know, it's not like what you think. She's like feathers and a gown and this and that. She's like, it was just light. She was like, it was just bright light, and you knew it was an angel. And she was telling me that she said a prayer, like, Lord, if it's your time to take me, then go on and take me. But I guess it wasn't. So she said, though, that she still thinks it's amazing that she got to see angels. And, you know, I just sat there and I listened to her for a while, and she was going on. She did say something kind of off-putting, but, you know, I just disregarded it. She was like, well, she started talking about how crazy the world is, and she believes, you know, the world's going to you know, end soon and all this stuff that's happening. And I was listening to her. I was like, yeah, things are getting serious. And she was like, oh, what'd she say? She was like, yeah, she's like, well, she's like, you know, just with politics and everything, she's like, and you can't be a Christian if you like Trump. You can't. And I go, well, I go, let me just say something. I was like, I don't think God is concerned with politics. I think God is more interested with our heart and us being servants to him. And that's what matters. And I was like, doing what his word says. And she was kind of like, oh, okay, okay. So she accepted it. So anyways, I just sat there and I talked to her for a while. But I don't know, I just thought it was kind of cool to like hear about, you know, somebody's experience with angels and stuff. And and I'm still believing for my job. Like, I'm going in there every day with the thought that, you know, like we prayed in the beginning, that the Lord is going to keep me hidden. And I'm not going to get vaccinated, and they're going to be at peace about it. And I'm going to be at peace about it. And I'm just trusting the Lord, and I'm believing strongly in our prayer that we all prayed. There's another social worker that he just joined our team. And like probably like 2 months ago, he said that he went and got a second dose. He just randomly told me this out of nowhere. I was sitting there doing my work, and he's like, hey, and I turned around and he was like, it was crazy. He was like, you know, I have really bad arthritis, and I got the second shot. And the next thing I know, he goes, it was like immediately my arm went numb. He goes, and the whole left side of my body went numb. He goes, and my arthritis just flared up. And I was like, you know, you're not the only one I've heard tell me this. So I was like, when I worked at the hospital, I heard like 3 or 4 other people say that their arms went completely numb. Well, he goes, yeah, he goes, and my cousin, which I thought this was crazy, that this had happened to his cousin, and he still went and got the shot, the second one. He said that his cousin over the weekend took the shot and got a blood clot and ended up in the hospital and was going to die. They thought she was going to die. She was in there for like a whole week. And I'm just sitting there listening. I'm like, God, like how these, it's just like, thank you, Lord, for your understanding and for his grace that he's blessed us to trust in him and not trust in the world. And I'm just so completely assured in that. I just, it's so goofy to me how people can just inject something they don't know nothing about. And they see all these bad things. Like somebody was telling me, I got vaccinated, but I still got COVID. And I'm like, how does this make sense? Anyways, but you know, David Hills, he talks about there being stupid demons out there, like legit, like stupid demons. Sometimes I'm just like, what? Well, you know, maybe that's what's going on here. But I don't know. But yeah, I'm trusting and believing and thanking the Lord that my job is going to work out. And I have complete total faith. And y'all are going to hear a testimony that they're, you know, that they just approved what I sent. It was like a 2-page paper about my strong beliefs in the Lord, and I'm holding true to his word and his promises, and that God has blessed me with faith that you know, I don't even have to take over the counter medicine, because not that it's wrong if you do, but I put like the measure of your own faith, and I understand that people aren't there, but God has blessed me enough to know that, you know, I believe in him, and I want to believe in him for everything, because I want the glory to be his, and it's just easier in the long run to just give it to him anyways. So so I just want to tell you guys that. Also too, just a little side note, side prayer. I've been waking up in the middle of the night and having like, it's like weird, it's like every night I have all these thoughts about like going into labor and delivery, and like it's like Satan tries to attack me, and I pray in the spirit and I rebuke him, and I'm like, Lord, I know that this pregnancy is gonna be healthy and this baby's gonna be healthy. We've had so many beautiful testimonies along the way, and so I'm just rebuking that fear in Jesus' name, and I'm holding fast to my word, and I know that he's gonna be with me. But you know, I guess being new to all this, I'm like, whoa, what's going on, just with my body and stuff, making the changes. But I know, you know, the Lord wants me to be at rest, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let my body do its thing, because that's, he's controlling it. So anyways, y'all just believe in faith with me. But yeah, that's kind of all I wanted to say.
Okay. Praise God for angels. Go ahead, Missy.
I just wanted to pray for Geneva. Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this little one growing inside of her. And I thank you, Lord, that she is the perfect incubator, Lord, because you've made her the way she is, Lord, to be completely healthy and that everything goes smoothly and she has a smooth labor and delivery and healthy baby, Lord. And we just command these spirits of fear and anxiety that are the and lying spirits that come to her and in her sleep and give her these dreams. We just forbid it, Lord. And we just ask you to give her encouraging dreams concerning the baby that's coming and put her heart at rest. And we just thank you, Lord, that fulfilling her with your peace and joy and rest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. She's going to be fine. Baby's going to be fine. Everybody's going to be laughing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Rian. How's it going, brother? All right. Anyone else got a testimony or a praise report? I tell you, Geneva, I don't know why anyone would want to go to the hospital. There's too many people dying in them things. And more people, that's number three. It used to be, it's probably more than that now. It used to be the number three death in the world. Number three cause of death in the world is going to a hospital and them making mistakes on you. That's what happened to Robert David Steele, who died the other day. Of course, some of you don't know who that is. That's all right. He was an ex-CIA whistleblower. Was doing real good work with the child sex traffickers and human traffickers and that kind of stuff. Worldwide, he was doing that. And he went to the hospital and for COVID, and he told them he didn't want their treatment. He wanted his particular treatment, and they ignored him and stuffed a ventilator down him, and he died. That's what we hear anyway. So stay out of the hospital. They'll kill you. All right, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I can testify to that. My mother went to a hospital in Singapore, and this Australian doctor came in and was all happy and said, "Did you come here to die?"
Yeah, end of story.
Yeah, that was. I guess she didn't understand. Wasn't familiar with the accent well enough. But anyway. What this weekend was pretty exciting one for me. We had a TLR folks, Torben, calls it a kickstart here in Spokane, and it was it's quite a weekend. I learned quite a bit. So one thing I learned, you know, I just don't do this stuff very often, which is one of the reasons I wanted to go. And so one thing I noticed while we were praying for folks, prayed for a couple ladies, and they both received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was pretty excited about that. But one thing I noticed was I tended to be trying to put too much effort into what, instead of just relaxing and let the Lord lead. So I, you know, some of the things I was tending to do was pray in tongues. Like I felt like I had to pray in tongues all the time, so anyway, I just learned a lot of things. One of the hardest lessons I learned the next day was that a gentleman showed up. He drove all the way from the West Coast to get baptized. He'd been to three different people who kick out demons, and they couldn't seem to get the demons out. So, but he felt like, well, if he got baptized, then that would be the trick, and that would be the, once he got water baptized properly, then the demons would have to go. Well, I noticed just before I was getting ready, a couple of us were going to baptize him, that he had on this T-shirt with Illuminati symbol on the front and Chinese writing on it, which is nothing wrong with any particular language. It's just that I had a lot of questions about that T-shirt, especially getting baptized in it. Well, once he got in the water, you know, he manifested demons, and it was just this fight, and he couldn't seem to get deliverance. And so I mentioned to the other guy, who is a lot more experienced to these things, I said, that T-shirt, I think that's a problem. And he said, he looked at it, he goes, yes, it is a problem. Well, this gentleman got out, Torben's, you know, said, if somebody's taking too long, I need to get out, and we can minister to them outside of the pool, or outside of the little thing we were baptizing them in. But some other folks started talking to him, and turns out he had these things around his neck. Now, he didn't have these on during the baptism, but he had, like, some little good luck things around his neck. And they said, you got to get rid of those, man. I mean, you can't expect, you've got to give, you know. And we hadn't noticed that stuff before. Apparently, he'd been under his shirt or something, but he just was not willing to give some of this other stuff up. We said, you know, you drove all the way here, and what's the value of these things you're wearing compared to eternal life and being free from these demons and all this stuff? He just couldn't, you know. And I spent a lot of time with him, talking with him, you know, about that I had to give up things. We all have to give up things if you're going to follow Jesus. But it was like to no avail. And I felt like, in retrospect, I wasted a lot of time when we should have just, the other guys that had more experience there were just saying, well, let you think about it. And so if you don't want to give it up now, well, you know, come back and talk to us if you want to change your mind. But I didn't take the cue. I just kept talking to him, and which was a mistake. So I think one of the things that Torben was saying, I really appreciate that, is that we're looking for the person of peace. In other words, the person that is receptive and ready, and not to waste time with people who are still on the fence or you know, just are just resistant. You don't have to discuss things with people or debate or any of those things. Because if they're at that point, they're probably not softened down enough. I hate to use that word, but I think that's often what God has to do, is get us, soften us up till we're ready to give it all up for Him. So anyway, it was a great weekend. I loved it. Prayed for a lady's knee, and she was immediately set free from that, and she was so happy. But the nice thing about it was that it was a whole group of Christians there. She was a Christian. So, you know, it's just a... So, anyway, it was just exciting. It was a very sobering weekend, I have to say, very sobering, because, you know, it's... Following Jesus is... You need to take it seriously, and it put aside anything that's in the way, so... I have to say, it really was disturbing to me to talk to this gentleman and realize that he was not willing to give up some things that were pretty insignificant. And it made me think about myself, you know, am I willing to give up everything? I think this question we all have to ask ourselves. So that's it.
Amen. Well, you know, there are people in churches. It won't give up their religion for God. There's whole denominations out there that won't give up the religion for God. When you can show it to them in the Word, So, amen. All right, anyone else?
I discovered that, Michael.
Yeah.
Can I still talk, or can you hear me, or I don't know?
Well, sure, yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I was just going to say I found that out when I was talking to my mother. She said, you can't baptize somebody unless you're ordained. And then we got into all this gospel order and only pastors have been ordained by... I said, it's not in the Bible. Well, Paul talks about ordaining elders. I said, you don't have to be an elder. We have to have gospel order. Okay, so I was like, okay. I don't want to... Okay, we're not... We'll just discuss this with somebody else. But anyway...
Amen.
But, you know, you have to be kind of careful not to talk too much, even if you're excited about it.
Well, that's why God's fixing to have this little tribulation that we're going through, is to shake them up. The ones that are his and they want to go after him, they will run after him. They'll find out somebody that's preaching the gospel with signs and wonders following, and they'll go find out about the truth. The ones who want to know the truth, they're going to find out real quick that this preacher I've been listening to has been lying to me.
There's been a lot Patrick. Of lying going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of lying.
By the way, one of the things that we found out at the meeting, Torben announced that the Lord started talking to Lena, his wife, and then started talking to him, that their next step is to go to Mexico and South America. So what that means is they may not be able to get back to the United States because they were here requesting asylum. And so far that's not finished yet. So they may not be able to get back in unless they come through the border like everybody else. That might work.
Come to the border.
Oh, yeah, it's an open border.
Yeah, of course.
Open borders. People shouldn't worry about trying to get in. Just come to our southern border.
Mm-hmm.
Such a pain getting a green card or getting a visa, you know. And it's but that's an easy way to go.
Okay, Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just listening to Malcolm there. It reminded me of the Lord gave me that thought yesterday. I don't know if I talked about this before or not, but he gave me a thought when I woke up. It was kind of plastered on my mind. You have to be all in. And because I've been praying consistently, I don't know how long, a year maybe, every morning start with just, Father, thank you for bringing me into this perfect place in Christ, in Jesus' name. And the idea that perfect place, perfect secret place of the Most High is that place of completeness, being complete in Christ. And so that thought hit me. And I got up this morning and I started reading in Andrew Murray's book, because I wanted to know what he thought about that whole process. You have to be all in. And I guess the concept was, if you're all in, then Jesus is all in. And so I guess what I was thinking is that there are certain areas that I seem to always battle or struggle, or they come up and, you know, I have to deal with them, etc. And I guess I'm kind of thinking about that, and then this whole concept of being all in Christ, so that there are no areas that are, shall we say, not sanctified or not expressing Christ. So anyway, I got to reading this Absolute Surrender. It was actually a chapter the Lord led me over to. It's a chapter separated unto the Holy Ghost, and it goes through, I think it was when in Acts, when the Holy Spirit basically said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas, and then Andrew went on a kind of a application of that. But I just wanted to read something, one little excerpt out of that. He's talking about the Holy Spirit and the results and everything. He said, I'm sure there are workers who often cry to God for the Holy Spirit to come upon them as a spirit of power for their work. And when they feel that measure of power and get blessing, they thank God for it. But God wants something more and something higher. God wants us to seek the Holy Spirit as a spirit of power in our own heart and life to conquer self and to cast out sin and to work the blessed and beautiful image of Jesus into us. Then he said, there's a difference between the power of the Spirit as a gift and the power of the Spirit for the grace of a holy life. And it's that grace of a holy life that I believe he's talking about here, that is that perfect, that completeness in Christ. A man may often have a measure of the power of the Spirit, but if there be not a large measure of the Spirit as the Spirit of grace and holiness, the defect will be manifest in his work. He may be made the means of a conversion, but he never will help people on to the higher standard of spiritual life. And when he passes away, a great deal of his work may pass away too. But a man who is separated under the Holy Ghost is a man who is given up to say, Father, let the Holy Ghost have full dominion over me in my home, in my temper, in every word of my tongue, in every thought of my heart, in every feeling toward my fellow man, and let the Holy Spirit have entire possession. And he was, I think what Andrew Murray was describing there was that what he is calling surrender, I guess I was thinking you're all in. Everything that you are is in the pot. You've given it over to Christ. I was kind of reminded when I was reading this of when I first came to the Lord, and then he led me into the Baptist church. And for the entrance into this church, we kind of went through like a salvation, you know, a altar call type of thing, and and whatnot. And when it appeared that I was asking too many questions related to what the pastor was asking me down there at the altar, he decided to, you know, that this needs to happen in a little bit longer time frame, and we'll have to talk about it and, you know, think about it, etc. Well, in one of these meetings afterwards, he gave me an example trying to get me to commit to the church. And he gave me an example. It was a story of somebody in the early part of the 1900s, when they were, it was popular to tightrope walk across the Niagara Falls. And whether this story is true or not, I don't know, but he told it this way, that that it was, you know, advertised in the paper that this guy was going to cross the Niagara Falls, and he was going to push a wheelbarrow with a load of bricks in it across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And so before that, he said, does everybody, you know, before it had a group of people there that were cheering them on, does everybody believe, who believes that I can do this? I can wheel this wheelbarrow with this. And of course, everybody jumped up and, yay, you can do it, man. Go for it. We're with you 100%. And they loaded up the bricks in his wheelbarrow, and he tightrope walked across Niagara Falls and with the barrel. And then he came back and he said, now, and he did it again. Now, who really believes now that I can take this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls again without spilling it? And of course, everybody jumped up and, yay, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Go for it. And he said, all right, who will volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow for me? And of course, the group began, remain silent. And when he told me that, he said, that's what you have to do with the Lord, is that you have to get in his wheelbarrow. Now, I must confess, at the time when I, you know, was in this process, I couldn't grasp that. I couldn't, my mind, let me put it this way. There's no way I was jumping in that wheelbarrow. I don't care who it was. But I am coming back around, even thinking of that yes, in fact, the Lord Jesus and God, we can trust with our lives in totality, that example of getting in that wheelbarrow and letting the Lord walk us across has an application now, because I think more about it now. And my trust in the Lord is different now than it was in those days. However, I think I guess what I'm thinking is that there is, let me just stop right there. I wanted to, what happened is that kind of led me to another reading, and it was also Andrew Murray's, but this was Andrew Murray's book on the two covenants, and it's called The Two Covenants and the Second Blessing. And I wanted to just read something on there, because he connects this deeper life or connection with God he connects them with these two covenants. And he said, why was it that God made two covenants, not one and not three? Because there were two parties concerned. In the first covenant, man was to prove what he could do and what he was. In the second covenant, God could show what he would do. The former was a time of needed preparation. The latter, the time of divine fulfillment. The same necessity as there was for this in the race exists in the individual too. Conversion makes a sinner a child of God, full of ignorance and weakness, without any conception of what the wholehearted devotion is that God asks of him, or the full possession of God is ready to take of him. In some cases, the transition from the elementary stage is by a gradual growth and enlightenment. But experience teaches that in the great majority of cases, this healthy growth is not found. To those who have never found the secret of a healthy growth, of victory over sin and perfect rest in God, and have possibly despaired of ever finding it, because all their efforts have been failures, it has often been a wonderful help to learn that it is possible by a single decisive step, bringing them into right relationship to Christ, his spirit, and his strength, to enter upon an entirely new life. What is needed to help a man take that step is very simple. He must see and confess the wrongness, the sin of the life he is living, not in harmony with God's will. He must see and believe in the life which Scripture holds out, which Christ Jesus promises to work and maintain in him. As he sees that his failure has been owing to his striving in his own strength, and believes that our Lord Jesus will actually work all in him in divine power, he takes courage and dares surrender himself to Christ anew. Confessing and giving up all of self and sin, yielding himself wholly to Christ and his service, he believes and receives a new power to live his life by faith of the Son of God. The change in many cases, as clear, as marked, and as wonderful as conversion, for lack of a better name, that of a second blessing, came most naturally. I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to take up any more time, but I just thought that it was, the Lord has had me on that thinking or that process for a long time. And I think that I just really believe that there is a greater place in Christ that I'm not personally not living in right now myself, and that I want to be in that place. So anyway, I just thought I would toss that out. You know, maybe if anybody has any comments or whatever, I'll post the link. That's is a very good book. I read it, not Absolute Surrender, but The Two Covenants. I read actually when I was back in the Baptist church. And from what I'm seeing now, it's kind of come full circle around, and I could see more and more what Andrew Murray was saying about that. But anyway, I'll leave it there, shut my mouth.
No, that was good, Pat. And we are all going into that realm by faith. We're walking it, and that's what we do. We do it all by faith. God does it in us. And we walk into that absolute surrender by believing that God's helping us out here. That's a good book, and I love it. All right, call in user one.
I don't know how I appear on your screens there. Is this me? Yes. I'll talk by faith. No, Pat, thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that's one of the that absolute surrender. It's just a calling of Jesus, and it's a sweet calling, and it's, you know, I don't know how much time we have left to respond, but
I can give you some time.
No, I'm just saying responding to Jesus. We just want, I don't know, I just felt such a, I don't know, I feel like crying all the time. But I feel like we need to just go for it and just let things, you know, let the Lord take care of the side details and whatnot. Not worry about, that's another thing, is not to worry and get too involved in the news. Just spend time at Jesus' feet, because he's handling all that stuff. And of course, we, you know, if we hear or see something, we pray about it or regarding it or cast things down or whatever, do our spiritual warfare, which is part of all that. But anyway, I just to hear Jesus' voice is really special. So that's it, Michael.
Okay, thank you. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Leo or Yelena?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to, in person, take a moment to thank you all. Thank you all for your prayers and support. And just wanted to give you a testimony that the Lord's been really gracious to us, and we're really blessed with those who know our situation and those who have been us through the years, you know, with our son Josiah, who passed away just recently, and we're just really blessed, you know. That's all I can say. We're really blessed. The Lord's really done a number on us, and I want to say just thank you. Thank you so much for all your prayers, for all those people who stood in the gap for us and lifted us up. And I really thank Pat for that. I guess it's a, I don't know, if what was that you were reading about that Niagara Falls and the barrel? I feel like, you know, I feel like I did that. I got in the barrel with Jesus to cross that Niagara Falls. But when Josiah died, I feel like that barrel went over with Jesus, but I thank God, you know, that we survived, and we're still here, and we're blessed, and the Lord healed us, and we still need healing as a family. You know, we still need healing. There's a lot of healing that needs to happen in my heart, in my children's hearts, and yeah, but you know, just the outpouring of support's been so wonderful, and you know, even the Lord even took care of all of our expenses for us. There's been financial support coming in from family members that pretty much covered all of our expenses 100%, and never expected that. Yeah, I just thank the Lord. I really thank the Lord. Thank you all, and I just bless you all in the name of Jesus and ask you to stand strong and continue in the Lord and thank God for everything. And I can't say I understand what the Lord is doing in my life, but he's doing something. And I can look back and, you know, there's a lot of things I can regret. There's a lot of things I know that I could have done better, but you know what? I think if I could have done them better, I would have done them better. So we just, you know, we just make the best of what we got and go on and trust God and keep getting in that barrel over and over. Don't matter how many times it tips over, you know, he's going to keep us through it. And even in the fall, he'll pick us back up. So I thank y'all. God bless you.
Amen. Amen, Leo. Just a thought. So, brother, you're a part of the body. And when a part of the body grieves and is in a tumult, we are too. Everybody is. And we pray and we pray and we pray. And pray that God would bring better out of this. And I believe he will. I believe your family, in the name of Jesus, is going to come together in love. Jesus is love. And we cast out all unforgiveness and any kind of regret or condemnation or any of that. We cast it out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that they are on the road to a recovery of nothing but Jesus' love in their heart. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, Leo and Yelena. And thank you for their heart for you. And we praise you, Father, for blessing them with a mighty, mighty outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful family. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Father, for this lovely family, Leo and Yelena. Lord, they're our brother and sister, and we love them dearly, and so do you. And we're praying for them that give them that peace, that give them that restoration, give them that rest again in their souls and their hearts. And we know Josiah is in a wonderful place. I know he's heard this. We all believe that. And we all know it's true. And we just right now, though, and while we're here, we need a little rest and we need some comfort. And Lord, we just continue to ask you to bless this family and bless their hearts and help them continue on, because we know that you hold us all up. You hold us all up. You always do. And we just look to you for that strength, and we're asking you to give them that strength along with all of us, but especially now if I continue on with Leo and Yelena, because they're just special people and we love them very dearly. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. My. Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Thanks. And look, Leo and Yelena, I know you have never met me and I don't know you, etc. But, you know, in a small way, by the way, I've just, you know, been part of the prayer that's gone on. But I had this thought as you were speaking, because, you know, your experience, you're not alone in that experience of having lost a child. In this life, not that the child is in any way, then Josiah is in any way lost. But this is the thought that came to me, and I make of it what you will, is that, there's going to come a time when there'll be a meeting, a reconciliation of those parents with those children in the kingdom of the Lord. And I tend to think that those of us who haven't, no one wants to have that experience in this life, but who haven't had that experience in this life will be in some way envious of what that it will experience. And when the dots are connected and the tapestry joins up and we can see what was really going on. That's it. That's, you know, just the thought that came to me. But bless you both. I you know, and Josiah and the rest of your family and your children, you know, even those yet unborn.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anyone else? The only one that I would jump in the wheelbarrow with, going across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, would be Jesus. And don't anybody else ever even think about asking me, because it ain't going to happen. Amen. All right, Samuel, go ahead, brother.
G'day. Thank you again for another wonderful fellowship. But we've got this question regarding...
Well, yeah. So we're having a baby in a couple months, and we don't really want to go to a hospital, and we don't like doctors and everything, but we told a couple of Christians we didn't want to go to hospital or doctors. But they kind of like freaked out a bit and said, God wants me to go to a hospital. And so we went to a couple of doctors, but we don't really want to do it. But we're just like, not sure. Is it like rebelling against God, us not going to the doctors and the hospital, or... And are we fine to just keep doing it by faith? Because we know God's in control of every tiny little thing. So,
like, what we're really quite concerned is, like you just mentioned there with the hospital and deaths and things, and they obviously do witchcraft and all that terrible stuff. And
plus, they keep trying to
like
get me to have blood tests. I don't like them, and I've told them that, and they keep trying to pressure me and try to force me into it, and.
And there's like obviously the evil report from the doctors, and there's all this stuff that's going on. And because it's our first child, and we're just really we're leaving it with the Lord. We're praying. We felt to ask other members in the body as well, and just to get like a real confirmation, really. But what is it that we do as well? Second to that would be, how do we respond to our family who don't know the Lord? Because we're the only
Christians.
Even Christians who seem to know the Lord as well as
say not to. They say they're the ones that told us to go to the doctors and the hospital and stuff. So.
Yeah. So it's just like a twofold question.
We just really want some advice, because you guys seem to have a lot of faith, you know, with the Lord. And I know David Eel said he had four of his children at home.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, David did. He had one that wouldn't come out. He just commanded it to come out and it squirted out like a baseball. So, first thing to do is get you a set of forceps. And no, I don't know. I don't know. You can't ask me, because we did ours with a doctor. So, I'm just going to let these other people that have done that do it, talk about it. Patrick, how many have you had with the midwife?
Well, personally, I didn't have any. My wife did. But we went to the hospital. Well, I got to be clear here. In this day and age, we went to the doctor hospital first when we were first Christians, first in the Baptist Church, actually. And it wasn't until after that that we decided to go with midwives. And it takes you completely out of the hospital doctor scene, basically. And we were, you know, at that time, I mean, this was obviously before UBM and all, you know, this is way back when I was still seeking God and everything, basically. And so we went the midwife, you know, process. And I think we learned a lot. We, you know, after I think that, I mean, I let everybody else speak related to it, but I for my first one, I think I would personally go with a midwife or something like that. So somebody's, you know, played the game before and knows how, you know, knows what's happening. I mean, you know, we didn't know anything about anything. So anyway, that's, I don't know how everybody else feels about that, but anyway, just toss it out.
Well, you can go on YouTube and find out anytime you want to, because I'm telling you, they're going to have something in there about it. But here's a lady that's experienced in it. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to add my two cents regarding outside input on your decision. So we're about to have our third baby here in about a month, and we have chosen to answer everybody's inquiries about our birth plans with, we are not sharing our plans. And that's been a really hard thing for me to do because I'm a very open person. I have learned recently that this is also a kind of a form of rejection. I always feel like I need to explain myself to people so that they accept me and bless me and whatnot. Well, that's not always the case. With our firstborn, Theo, we had planned for a home birth with a midwife. And I told people, like people women normally do, our plans and what we were praying for. And while home births are not uncommon, they are still not very common amongst my social and community circle. And unbeknownst to me, because I was not walking with the Lord I am today, as I am today, and I was not learning from UBM, I was being cursed from head to toe for my decision. And so what started out as a, I look back now as a very good home birthing experience. I believe I experienced a pain-free labor, which is why I look back and I don't know how I handled over 30 hours of labor 5 minutes apart before I landed in the hospital. But I landed in the hospital for absolutely no reason outside of my midwife casting doubt into my mind and my being so tired and unsure of what was going on and knew I agreed with her. And then once I landed in the hospital, I ended up with a cesarean. And thus, when I got pregnant with my second one, in my mind, my only option was another cesarean. I was not willing to go through the drama, the questions, the fear again. And so with our third one, once again, we are choosing to tell people we are not sharing our birth plan. We don't care what people are assuming based on us saying something like this. We are going off of the grace and the faith that the Lord has filled us up with. I just have this very, very strong feeling that the last thing I want to do is be in a hospital, period. And there's no way to explain it except to those that walk in the Spirit with us. So if you are convicted and you are sure that this is how you want to go, and it sounds like you are, these things do come from the Lord. The first thing I can advise you is be in prayer. And do not share with people who are unwilling to support you nor believe for you, because they will curse you into a hospital. I've been there, and it took me many, many years before I realized what happened, because even when I landed in the hospital, I cried my eyes out and I said, I wasn't supposed to be here. What happened? So God bless you guys and congratulations.
Amen. Thank you, Lana.
Thank you, Sam. Really good confirmations there. Thank you.
Okay, Elena, I guess, or Becky, yeah. I couldn't be.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to share my experience too. I definitely agree with Lana. Don't share it with people who won't support you. David and I, we only told people that we knew would be in support and prayer with us. His family had no idea we were going with a home birth. Anytime his mom would text me and be like, so what's the doctor saying? I'd just be like, everything's fine. Everything's good. You know, I didn't tell her it was a midwife that we were doing a home birth. I knew the negative things people say. And I was like, I want to believe for, you know, that the Lord's going to make it perfect. Everything's going to be good. And I didn't want to hear the negative didn't want them saying those curses. So yeah, we chose not to share it with people that we knew would be negative about it. With my first child, I did do a hospital birth. And at the time we weren't with UBM. We also we just followed the norm. I had an epidural. I felt like the experience was fine, but then by the time I got pregnant with my second, I started reflecting back on my first birth and I just had so much regret. I did not want to see doctors again. I did not want to go to a hospital again. Like everything inside me was like, I do not want to do this again. And I just had such a strong desire for a home birth. And because COVID was going on, David was also, he was scared at first, but then with the whole COVID and the hospital demanding to test you for COVID. And then we heard things like they won't let you have your baby if you test positive for COVID, like all these crazy things. So David was like, you know what, we should do a home birth. And so praise God, he got on board. And then we had the struggle of finances. We were really struggling financially at the time and we had no way of covering a home birth. Whereas with a hospital birth, I could have had the government cover my birth. And it was just such a walk of faith for us because at first I was just I believed the Lord put that desire in my heart for a home birth, but it was every way I was turning, it was it's not going to happen. I'm demanding too much or something. And so I kept praying for the Lord to put his desire in my heart. And I kept expecting him to make me want to do a hospital birth, as crazy as that sounds. And then one night I prayed about it. And that night I had a dream that I was in labor and I went to a hospital and they just wouldn't accept me. They were just you can't have your baby here. And they just would not let me in. And I woke up that morning and it didn't even hit me. And I went ahead and tried to call and schedule an appointment with the doctor. And they were like, oh, well, we don't accept Medicaid. So, they're not going to cover, I won't be able to have a free birth. And so I was like, man, dead end again. And it got me so down. And then it took me 2 days and I realized, wait, the Lord gave me this dream. That means he wants me to have a home birth. He doesn't want me giving birth in a hospital. And it was just this wave of relief. And I'm like, okay, I am going to stop stressing the finances. I'm going to message this midwife. And praise the Lord, he sent me a Christian midwife. Anyway, I was like, I'm going to message her. I'm going to tell her, we'll have the money by the time she needs it. And we're taking it by faith. And praise the Lord. He put it in the hearts of some of my siblings. They completely covered our home birth, and which I was so grateful for. And it was amazing. The whole experience and having a Christian midwife was so nice because in the toughest moment of the birth, she just grabbed my hands and started praying for me, for Jesus to fill me with his peace. And I just felt this wave of peace wash over me. And I knew he was with me. And it was just the most amazing experience. Honestly, I love looking back and remembering it. It was so positive, so wonderful, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Elena. Thank you, Father. Rhea's got something over in the chat. I'm going to read it. We've had three different experiences from bad to great. First, full private medical health care, fancy hospital, emergency, cesarean, expensive. Number two, no medical / health care, midwives and hospital room, natural birth, God covered the expenses. Number three, no medical / health care, midwives at home, natural birth, super cheap and easy. The third was by far the best experience we've had together as a couple and with God. And Clara would agree if she was here. Well, I'm sure she would. Amen. Greg's going to give you his experience. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I've given birth many times. First of all, Tiana, I'm going to apologise particularly for the malady because males in here because we've taken the opportunity to have a bit of humour on the side. But if you haven't seen the chapter, don't worry about it. That said, all right, I will acknowledge that the birth of a child is an incredible experience. And it'll be, I would only say this because I actually haven't physically produced a child from my body at this stage. It would take a great deal of surgery and anyway, it's not going to happen. But this much I'll say, you guys need to work this out for yourself and settle it. What I would say is probably the most important thing, no matter where the child is born, and historically children have been born in all sorts of places, is that who you have around and what they say, particularly at that point of transition, is, because it is a transition for your child, son or daughter. I'm assuming you don't know at this point of time from your comment at the start. I can't read lips yet, but I'll assume that you're agreeing with me. it's a transition. Your child is already in this world, and the people around and the words spoken are the most important. The location, as I say, I know of a guy who was born in a manger in a stable, so. But yeah, one thing, in the group here, we will pray over this whole situation. And for some reason, it seems to be, and I'm not claiming anything here, that it's kind of especially God's given me in prayer from a number of experiences. Anyway, that's all up to you guys. I'll butt out now because my giving birth experience is not quite the same as what yours is going to be. Well, not yours, Tiana, Samuel, different.
Okay, 7th of November. All right. The boy, huh? The video. David. All right. All right, Will, go ahead, brother.
I just want to pray, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Lord, we pray for the birth that's coming up, Lord, that you will make. Please bless the births, Lord, that it will be easy and there won't be any challenges. And that, your hand of protection will be on the mothers to be, and that Lord, praying for Christian midwives. We pray for Christian midwives to come forward, Lord, and make their births easier and not challenge the mothers during the birth. That is a blessing, and Lord, we ask for that in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah, I mentioned in the chat, Samuel and Tiana, when you guys are in the labor process, to let us know and we'll all be praying. The group message will go out and we'll cover you with the prayers too. That's a very powerful thing. And definitely let the women's group know too, when that's happening, if they're in prayer during that time. So that works very good. Michael, I'd step out for a minute, so I'm going to step up for a minute. So what else do we have going on in here in this group? Well, Greg's not.
Oh, not much, Dave. I guess it's. Thank you, Dave. Sure. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, it is exciting, Rian. He said, very exciting, all these babies coming. I love these babies. Y'all going to have to come visit us at the same time. Yeah, it'd be a wonderful time. get all them babies together. Glory to God, get them up on top of this mountain, put them in that tree house up there, lock the door and go back down. Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else?
Tell them about the women's group.
About the what?
The women's prayer meeting. If Julie wants to talk about it.
Yeah, I can just mention it. There's a group of us that sisters that come together on, it would be probably in the evening for you. If you want to, Michael, if you wouldn't mind, I don't have your email, Tiana. I could send you the information. I'm kind of.
Yeah, it's michael@ubm1.org.
so what? I can give the information to Tiana.
Oh, I'm not sure I understand what you want.
Okay, Tiana, if you want to put your email, if you put your email in the chat, I'll take it from there.
Well, I don't have theirs. I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Do that to me, and I'll send it to her. There it is. Oh yeah, I got that one. I remember that one. That's it's kind of an unusual. All right. Anyone else? William says it's National Spring Day there. Okay, National Spring Day. Yeah, Phil. Go ahead, brother. Or Lana, I guess that's for you.
Yep, I just have a prayer request. Michael, if you could please pray for Jim. They're sending him home today for hospice care at home. I guess they're going to try to make it an easier passing. I don't know. I'm not really too familiar with hospice or anything. Maybe some of the people here can elaborate. But anyway, so I'm going to try to make it down there this weekend, Lord willing, to see him. Just pray for him. I appreciate it. This is Jim down in Arizona.
Is he ready?
He's a believer. He believes in Jesus. We spent a few nights praying with him, Lana and I, and he agrees with everything we've said. And he's his only plan is God's plan. So I believe he's ready.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're bringing Jim home in familiar surroundings to get ready to take him home, Lord. And we ask it that you wait until Phil gets down there to see him before this happens, and that they would have a great and good meeting with you involved in it, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to have a wonderful time on the other side. And we praise you for that, Father, and let it be a peaceful, peaceful transition. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. How old did you say he was? You said he was on up there, didn't you?
73.
Ain't that far up there.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for, if this is his time, Lord, take him in an easy way. If not, heal it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Does he want to go, or does he want to get healed, or do you know?
He's really worried for his family back here, who's gonna take care of him. But he does want to go. He's been asking the Lord to take him.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's gonna happen in Jesus' name. All right.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, Lord. Let that be a memorable meeting with Theo and Jim. Let Theo remember it. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Geneva.
I was just going to say to Theo to kind of answer his question about hospice, because that's what I work in. Basically, if he's going home with hospice, then the prognosis is like 6 months or greater. Or no, 6 months or less. I'm sorry. as far as like the expectancy, but it, you know, I mean, it could be short or whatever. I mean, obviously that's up to the Lord, but this is like from just technical terms. And what they do is they give them medicine to kind of ease the pain, and it's all about comfort measures to keep them comfortable. But then slowly, if the patient declines, they start to stop the medicine. So that way the patient can slowly adjust and then slowly pass. That's kind of how hospice works. But, you know, I believe in faith and believe with you guys that the Lord is in control of this, and, you know, that he's not any comfort or whatever that is, it's going to come from Jesus, you know, not from medication, not from any of that. And I know that, you know, the Lord's going to take care of him. He's going to bless you guys to have the words to speak in that hour, like his word says. And he's not bound by pharmakia in Jesus' name. He is, he's in the Lord's hands.
Amen. Thank you, Geneva. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to ask for agreement. Since Theo wants to go see Jim as soon as possible, and we're looking at possibly this weekend for that, which I'm all for, but I do have a sister that wants to come up and visit me for the weekend. And just short and sweet, I don't want to be the one to kill the plans. So Lord God, thank you so much that you are going to work in Jen and Joey's hearts and change the plans as necessary, and that I will not have to come under any condemnation for canceling on them or whatever the enemy wants to put on me. I rebuke it even now. I don't accept it, and I'm trusting, Father, that you're going to work everything out. Not that it's not obvious that in my last month of pregnancy, with my husband being gone, it would be a handful for me to handle a house full of people and my two super energetic little toddler boys. So Father God, just the spiritual attack, I bind it up in the name of Jesus, and that you will rearrange those plans, and you will bless my husband's trip, and you will give me the strength and wisdom and supernatural energy to be home with my precious boys until my beloved comes back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your angel standing around about her and the boys while Theo's gone. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And put that rest and joy and peace in her heart, and everything's fine. And Lord, close the door for the people that want to come up and visit. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? I want to pray for my daughter. She's given a speech before the governor and some other people there in Arkansas. I don't know, something about, let me see if I can think of the name of it. It has to do with drug overdose, getting kids out of, teaching kids how to get out of that circle. So, Lord, I lift up Michelle to you, Lord, that you would place it in her heart to give you the glory for everything that's done tonight, and let her, and place it in her heart to say the things that you want her to say. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time with her in front of all those people. In Jesus' name, amen. I forget the name of it. Let me look here right quick. It's called Overdose Awareness. Overdose Awareness. So anyway, thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something? Amen. All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
Michael, is Leo on right now?
Yeah, he's on.
Okay. Leo, do you mind if I say something a little bit about your situation there with your son passing away?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm a little hesitant because I don't know you folks real well, and I want to not bring any pain. This last weekend, one of the ladies we prayed for, her husband died a couple years ago, suddenly from a heart attack. She's a young lady, and she had 4 or 5 kids from their marriage. And what she asked us to pray for was that ever since her husband died, she had blamed God. And I know you folks aren't anywhere near that. What was going on with her was pretty deeply seated. And she had a really hard time letting go. She said every time she would sit down and try to read the Bible or pray, all the memories of this, of her husband dying suddenly would come back, and then she just couldn't read the Bible because it just brings back these memories. And obviously that's, demonic activity going on there, and doors had gotten open there, and so it was really a sad situation, and, we're all in tears. But anyway, I was just saying to her, when something like that happens, it's just a time when some doors can get opened, and it's just an opportunity for the enemy to try to cause harm. So I just wanted to pray for you guys, if that's okay. And Lord, I just cast down any attempt of the enemy to take advantage of this situation, and to close any doors that the enemy might try to open and try to jump through right now for Leo and his wife. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name right offhand. I rebuke any attempt of the enemy to take advantage of the situation right now. And I speak peace to your hearts and as the comfort of God, like it says in 2 Corinthians, first chapter there. And we all know the Lord is going to use this so that you can minister to others. I just bless you guys in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I really appreciate that, and I do want to say, make it very, how should I say it? Clarify maybe a little bit that we are comforted about Josiah. I want to say that, I don't want you all to worry about, the fact that we might be grieving too much or we miss him. We do miss him. I mean, no matter what kind of a child he was, he was alive, but he was never really there that we could at least, we only had very small hints of him actually being a part of the conscious life of our family. He was a very, very broken body. That was alive, and he suffered a great, great amount of, he suffered a lot. I'll just say it that way. And going through those 4.5 years, watching him from day to day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I mean, you're constantly with him, watching the suffering for 4.5 years. It's not very hard to accept the fact that he's with the Lord and he's in glory and he's having a really good time. We're very, very comforted about Josiah. It's just more of you know, our broken hopes maybe a little bit that we have to kind of get comforted about, forgive ourselves for the some of the things that we could have done better, you know, when he was still alive, you know, maybe those kind of things. But as far as, you know, grieving so terribly that open doors would come and and blaming God, no, for heaven's sake, no, we don't blame God. If there's anything wrong, it's with us, right? Yeah, you know, any further prayer, you know, we just greatly appreciate that. We're constantly praying about, you know, making sure that the Lord just keeps us safe from deception and the condemnation and doubt and regret and all that. But I want to just also say, you know, how much grace God showed us, you know, when he initially died that morning. You know, I didn't visit him that morning. It was the last time I had seen him and had been with him was around 11:30 at night before I went to bed. I had given him some water, prayed with him, hugged him, kissed him, you know, told him I loved him and prayed over him and blessed and just spoke, you know, God's blessings over him. And I went to bed and I got up really, really early that next morning around 4:30. So I only slept for like 4 hours since I last seen him. And I got up and went to work for, you know, 5 a.m. So I didn't walk into his room. And but I believe he was alive. I could hear breathing and stuff in that room. So he was alive. And so I went to work and then, I worked a couple hours and then around 8 a.m. is when Yelena called me and she said, Leo Josiah died. And so, of course, I just rushed out of the office and drove straight home. And of course, we took a couple hours just to kind of be with the family, make sure our kids are okay, make sure our house is in order, make sure we're all calmed down and nobody's. And we didn't, you know, we weren't freaking out. We knew that this was with the Lord, you know, the Lord just took him. He had a simple countenance on his face and, you know, and his suffering was over. We just took it like that. We were sad, sure. Nobody was yelling. Nobody was crying. Nobody was freaking out. We called our parents. We told them. My mother came over and she was with us. Theo and Lana came over and, you know, I went ahead and of course I called 911, which is our emergency, you know, system here in America. And they dispatched a sheriff to our house, a policeman, basically. They dispatched EMS, which is our emergency response team, their medics, ambulance. They dispatched, well, that was it. So the sheriff shows up and I mean, it was amazing. God put such grace on these people. And they, you know, they responded to us so calmly and very friendly and very open-hearted and didn't even ask any terrible questions, didn't hassle us. You know, we kind of told them who Josiah was, how his life was and his condition. And basically just said, you know, his body just finally expired, you know, and he died. And the sheriff's like, okay, well, that's, you know, that makes sense. And so then the EMS people show up, the ambulance, and they walk in and they look at Josiah and they do their vital checks and stuff. And they're like, yep, he expired, you know, and they didn't even ask any questions. Didn't ask any questions whatsoever. They just said, yep, he died. And they walked out and left. And then the sheriff's like, well, there's one more thing, you know, we got to call the coroner. And he's the person who has some authority with the police department as far as, you know, determining cause of death and whether it needs further investigation and so forth. And he shows up and he looks like a young guy about my age. And he's just super nice and very calm. And doesn't ask any terrible questions, kind of whispered to the sheriff, looked at his notes, and then he kind of questioned a little bit, very simple questions about Josiah. He's like, well, clearly this looks like a medical condition and the child just died. There's no need for, what do they call that? Investigation or autopsy or anything else, medical examination, like they call it. And so they wrapped it up pretty quick. And they even called out the funeral home and they showed up and everything just went super, super smooth. I was so surprised, you know, but I would just want to say before that, I can tell you, we're almost out of time. There was a lot of that where the devil was thrown on my mind, you know, hey, you know, you have this child at home, you're taking care of him on your own. You're not taking him to doctors. He's not listed anywhere in his condition. Not very many people know about him, except the very folks that, you know, care to know anything about him. And if he dies, you guys could go to jail, you know, for neglect, for this, for that, you know. And, you know, just constant bombardment with the, and even from family members that would say that stuff like that to us. You know, you guys are just asking for trouble. You know, this is dangerous. You can't be doing stuff like this. And I just told the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord, come what may be. If I go to jail for this, you know, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen, this or that, you know. But anyway, time came, and sure enough, Josiah died, but the Lord was right there. I mean, he took care of everything. I mean, we didn't have to worry about anything. It just all went together so smooth, and the funeral happened, and family came, and people were very supportive and responsive, and things, and God's peace was over the whole thing, and we're still at peace. You know, if anything, it's just, you know, little attacks on the mind here and there, but you know, God's really, really come through for us, and we could have never done it on our own. I'm telling you, and it could have never done it without you guys' prayers, without other saints helping us out. It would have been impossible. So, you know, we are blessed. I still have a cough from the COVID that attacked me at the same time. So I got hit with that junk, and it was a double whammy. I hit with COVID and a loss of a son. It was terrible. But my lungs got hit really bad, so I'm still recovering from that. I could use some prayer too. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Leo.
I probably had COVID a little before you did, and I've been praying to get my taste and smell back. And yep, this weekend my smell started coming back when I was overwhelmed by somebody's bad breath. And then it's like the most ugly smells are the ones that seem to come through first. Anyway. But I just believe the Lord's, I mean, we all know this, that the Lord will use this because he's going to use you to comfort other people. And, you know, this vaccine is starting to take effect, or not, I shouldn't call it a vaccine, it's not that, it's the shot. But I think we're going to have a lot of people to comfort, and plus all the other difficulties that are coming along down the pike, so... Anyway, I just bless you, Leo, and your whole family, all the kids and everything.
Amen. Okay, we're out of time. Lord, we just thank you for another good night with you. We praise you, Father, for all the testimonies and the help with the midwives and how to do all that. We thank you, Father, for blessing everybody tonight with a good night's sleep and more of you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit enveloping Leo and Elena, Jesse, and the other kids. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Draw them close to you, Lord. We praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for all these pregnant women out there, Lord. We thank you that your angels are round about them, protecting them, bringing them on, and ain't going to be any pain whatsoever during these pregnancies, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for putting the muzzle on Greg, in Jesus' name. What's that for? You're going to get that baby out, huh? Amen.
No, I'm just ready to club those COVID-19 symptom things. No, you don't do